down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, you're most welcome back to the second hour of Down to Business. Bobby here, keeping your company all the way till 1 o'clock today. This is the show that talks to the most interesting people in Irish business. You can text me here, 53106, it'll cost you 30 cent. Email me at downtobusiness@newstalk.com. Send us a WhatsApp, 087-1400-106. I'm open on Twitter at Bobby Kerr. Hashtag Bobby Means Biz. Lots to come in this next hour. Shortly, I'll be looking to find out how the craft beer sector is faring following a challenging few months for the on and off trades and with the introduction of the deposit return scheme. So we'll see how all that's going. I'll also be out and about at a new maternity hub offering holistic care, pregnancy yoga, and even labour kits to those embarking on parenthood. A new business just started in Dunleary a couple of weeks ago. I was out and about with them yesterday. Plus, Kenny Jacobs of the DAA will be joining us in the executive chair, and we'll be asking him about the cap on numbers out at Dublin Airport and parking and all that other good stuff. So stand by for that. Now, according to the most recent figures, between 2017 and 2022, there's been an increase in the market share of 79 independent microbreweries that currently operate in the Republic of Ireland, with the consumption of craft beer rising from 2.9 to 3.4%. But with a hugely competitive market out there and the power of the likes of Diageo and others, other heavy hitters still ever present, how are our craft beer companies faring in 2024? And I'm delighted to have three of them here with me today. I'd like to introduce you to Quincy Fennelly. He's the CEO and founder of the Wicklow Wolf Brewing Company. Peter Maguire, sales director with Rye River Brewing, he also joins us. And also joining us from Cork is Shane Long, the co-founder of Original 7. And Shane, as the maybe the most senior man in the room, now Quincy might argue that, but a man who's been in the business a long time, you might tell us a little bit about your business, and indeed your new business, Original 7, and indeed your history in brewing.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity, Bobby. It's very much appreciated to be back on the show. I'm in the industry 26 years, so yeah, I can claim that title from Quincy. it seems like it went in a flash. We were independent for 11 years, and then we were approached by four heavy hitters who were looking to acquire the business. We ended up going with Molson Coors, fantastic people. Lucky enough to class David Coors as a personal friend of mine. We did amazing things over, I said I'd stay on for 5 years. The buyout was part of that I had to stay on. And I ended up staying for 11. And they were wonderful years, traveling the world with no stress, not having to worry about paying the wages, rocking in. Everything was done for you. And then I got a shock about a year and a half ago. Coors were consolidating all over the world. Some of the breweries were closing. I owned the property. I never sold the property on the North Mall. And they asked, would I take it back? I said, I have no interest in going back into this industry. So reluctantly went back in. One of my guys, Paddy, who's with me since 2005, an incredible brewer, said, listen, I want to stay. I want to go back. And I had a guy who'd asked me to go into business many, many years ago. I rang him. I said, listen, I don't know if this is a part-time job, a full-time job. I don't know if it's going to last a month. And he said yes immediately. So I said, right, Tui, off you go. Knock yourselves out. But my advice is just to keep it regional. Just do Cork. And they're flying it. Absolutely flying it.
So this is the Original 7, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so really, yeah. you had the opportunity, and again, as you say, the industry has been good to you, Shane. You managed to cash in your chips, get a job for a decade, and then basically get back in where you started at maybe a lower cost, let's call it.
Yes. The cost did terrify me when I went back in. Obviously, energy prices had reached their peak when we went to this, and grain prices, etc. But with the model of just doing Cork City, your carbon footprint was down. We don't the business doesn't have a van. It's streamlined as much as you possibly can, and there was no need for a salesperson because the publicans came to us.
Okay.
Which is, yeah.
Okay, we'll stay with us, Shane. Let's talk to Quincy Fanley now from Wicklow Wolf Brewery. Quincy, it seems like a long time since you were home brewing in your basement in San Francisco. So you would argue, I think, with Shane, that you're around every bit as long brewing beer.
Well, you know, I've been in the drinks business for over 30 years at this stage. I started in Ballygowan in the late 80s, and I remember Jeff Reed often said that if he had a penny for everyone that told him he was mad to get into bottled water, he'd be a millionaire, you know. And it's the same in craft beer.
Yeah.
You know? But we're in existence now for 10 years. We've gone from strength to strength. We've moved to a whole new facility in Newtown, Mount Kennedy, almost 5 years ago now.
Yeah, and you were originally in Molloy's Bakery, weren't you, in Bray?
Just at the back of Molloy's Bakery in Bray, a small little little unit. We kind of, originally the plan was that, like Shane, you know, we'd stay local and just supply North or South Dublin and North Wicklow, etc. But those plans kind of were thrown out the window fairly quickly. And
so now that you're in Newtown, Mount Kennedy, you've got, what is it, 17,000 square feet there. I presume there's pressure in terms of making that pay. You do have to have a particular level of production and sales.
Yes, you do.
To make that work.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of stuck in the middle as such in that we have a lot of the overheads of a big brewery, but we're not a big brewery.
Yeah.
We're competing against the Diageos and the Heinekens of this world who have very deep pockets. So we have to kind of box clever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't go out on a price basis. We're not a cheap product. But we kind of hang our hat on the whole sustainability question. You know, the entire 17,000 square foot roof is solar panelled. We're just about to get a CO2 recovery system. So we'll be saving our CO2 emissions on the double. You know, we've planted 5,000 trees in the past 2 years to offset our carbon footprint.
So craft beer, Quincy, it's very much about personality, isn't it? In the terms of what you do and how you live your life, and you know the image that's portrayed around the product.
Correct, and you know, I say a lot of the time that, you know, we're not just in the beer business; we're in show business. You know, and what we try to do is to portray our personality through the beers,
sure,
and through some of the people that we work with. You know, like our Brennan's Bread slice can beer that we made with surplus Brennan's Bread.
It's a great name,
which will be out shortly. You know, and that's kind of a bit of the showbiz that we bring to it.
Sorry, Peter Maguire, for keeping you so long and getting to you. You're the sales director with the Rye River Brewing Company. So thank you for joining us. You're maybe a relatively new man on the block, and you're only there since 2016. I know the business was set up by Tom Cronin.
That's right.
All those years ago. But tell us a little bit about Rye River Brewing and what you're doing these days.
Yeah, so you're right. We're founded in 2013, originally in Kilcock, and like Quincy, we outgrew it and we moved to Selbridge. So we needed to, I suppose we had plans to grow, so we had to have a bigger premises. We started, we actually distributed other people's brands, and got as far as 2016 and decided, no, we have to reset. And the focus since then has been on craft beer. And within that, it's on we focus on quality and consistency, and we all try and have our own angle. And our idea was that we want the same beer available each week, and we keep pushing that.
Yeah.
And we've built good distribution in off-trade, on-trade, and in export markets as well.
Peter, a lot of your business is now retail-focused. Can you tell us a little bit about that and who you've been actually working with?
We work with all the multiples, with the exception of Aldi, and both domestically and then internationally where we can as well.
And is that it's often tricky to do that, in a, you know, to maybe have your own brand and work for the supermarket labels with their brand. In other words, as the sales guy, sometimes does that bring its own challenges?
It can do, but it also brings advantages, because it means that your conversation can be unique to them in one area, but say, okay, we can have that one, but we also need to have this conversation.
Yeah.
So it works both ways, to be honest.
I think you've made no secret of the fact that it's been challenging, Peter, the last couple of years particularly.
Well, I think as we came out of COVID and things started to reset, craft beer itself had started to find a different level. And then coupled with that sort of slowdown, I suppose you'd call it, particularly in the domestic market. Yes, we had an export uptick, but we also had a cost implication that started to really come to the fore in that period. So the last 2 years have been a real challenge for us, particularly around costs. Because, we want our beer to be affordable to everybody. You know, we don't want to be passing, we don't like having price and freeze conversations with customers. But the end result was more expensive beer. And that's what we were trying to avoid. We want it to be affordable. So that's been a real challenge.
Shane, back to you and your decision, I suppose, second time round to stay local. Is that something that you'll review, or do you think that'll be embedded in your kind of new strategy?
Honestly, Bobby, I wouldn't say it's a day-to-day kind of a step back and take a look at the business. But as right now, we've turned that business into a profitable business within 12 months. I'm very happy with the way it's going. We've done some great collaborations, and I'm enjoying the ride at the moment. So knowing every customer on a first-name basis was how we built the business back 26 years ago. So that's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not going to, but for now we're very happy with just concentrating.
And can I ask you this, Shane? If you look at back in 1998, when you started, there were 7 breweries. In 2024, there are 76. It's a lot of new players in the market in a relatively short time.
Yes, I was actually interviewed on News Talk many, many years ago about this, when it had come to, I think, 25 or 26. And it was Jonathan at the time was interviewing me, and he said, "What about, you know, there's so much competition out there." And I said, "I don't see it as competition." And what I mean by that is, for example, you have a guy up in Monaghan producing beer on his farm, who's introduced a mass of people who would never have drank anything regional or anything other than a major branded product before. So it's increased the slice of the pie that's out there. Yes, the percentage may have gone down, but the pie is much, much bigger than it is now, or was back then. If you looked at, even going back 15 years ago, you would have walked into 20 bars and they wouldn't have anything local or anything regional or anything Irish other than the big brands. Now you'll walk into nearly every pub in Ireland and you'll at least have one, if not on draft, so certainly in package. So the amount of new people coming into the industry has benefited everybody.
Okay. And Quincy, the percentage of overall take of craft beers in terms of the total beer market, that seems to have flatlined a bit, has it?
It has, you know, in some circumstances it has. I do think that, you know, we as an industry have a job of work to do to continue to educate people that there's more to beer than just this yellow fizzy lager that every pub has 8 or 9 taps of the same thing. And, you know, we need to do, as a group, to really double down on educating people that there's a lot more to
and
beer.
And do people drink craft beer by virtue of its nature? It's drunk differently, isn't it, in that you might tend to drink less of it because some of them might be stronger, or it doesn't tend to be something that one would binge drink on, if I'm allowed to use that word.
Well, that's true, and you know, somebody said to me recently that, you know, when two people are drinking a craft beer, more often than not, the conversation is about the beer.
Yeah.
Whereas if two people are drinking a mainstream beer, the one thing they're not talking about is the beer because it's not relevant, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that.
Why are they drinking it then?
Because maybe they're just not beer drinkers as I would like to see them, or as us in industry.
But I think, Peter, you say that drink less, drink better is one of your slogans.
Yes, look, that's what we've seen. Like, craft has, Quincy's right, that we have a huge educational job to continue to do. Although, like, our breweries are lucky enough to be showing strong growth, and, you know, our ambition is to keep that going, but there's definitely an education piece that will help to bring more people into the craft beer category. And yes, there is stronger alcohol beers, but there's also lower alcohol beers, even below 4%, and down as low as 2% in micro IPAs and things like that. So the thing about craft beer is that there's such a wide range to offer. So education becomes a huge part.
Yeah, and that would have been the challenge that maybe wine would have had 40 years ago in Ireland. Coffee was the same. People are getting educated, and, you know, you need to kind of demystify stuff for people, and simplicity can sometimes be your friend.
But there is a natural curiosity at the moment within the consumer to want to know where their food and their drink comes. It probably started with farm to fork, but, you know, all those years ago. But there is a natural curiosity there. And if you look at the way beer sales are going, you're seeing the introduction of the prominence of the Moretti's and Peroni's coming through to, like, those guys are looking for different beers. That's why they're moving through. So we see craft beer as being the next stop for those guys. So again, like Shane said, there's an opportunity for craft beer that's not going to stop.
Shane, is there one of the challenges, I suppose, from a marketing point of view, is that if the big breweries, I suppose, masquerade as craft, for want of a better word, if they either acquire people, which again you were part of that journey, but I suppose if bigger breweries are coming up with craft products, is that an issue?
I don't think so. I think it helped the industry back in the day, because the more companies with big budgets that are pushing this, it trickles down to us, and we don't need as much volume to be successful. And also, the two guys in the room as well will say the same. We're able to adapt immediately. If there's a change in a customer's taste profile, we can adapt and have a beer on the bar within 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
And the same goes with the marketing side of things, and can think outside the box. Whereas there's a lot of corporate governance, etc., with the bigger players, which is totally understandable. But it takes much longer to adapt. So it's as Quincy says, you box clever.
Yeah.
And
you can be more nimble.
We can be a lot more nimble being independent, yes.
Quincy, back to you in terms of, I suppose, other aspects of the business. Your tap room, where you're bringing people onto the site, maybe to enjoy a beer experience. How important is that in the overall strategy of what you're doing?
It's really, really important, you know, and it's important for a variety of reasons. One, because, you know, we're every day we're recruiting new followers of Wicklow Wolf. We provide a meeting place for people locally to come in, you know, have a coffee, have a beer, do a tour, educate people more. Tourists, I mean, I had a lady in from America a couple of weeks ago. She's over here working in the American Embassy, doing whatever she's doing. And she just said she was depressed at the lack of interesting beer there was in particularly in the on-trade, and was delighted.
So she came out to see
us. She came out to see us, and she went away with her bags full.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the tourist side of things, if we could actually, we have to shut at 7 o'clock in the evening, which is part of the restrictions of the license. You know, most people are already coming out at 7. If we could, you know, get that extended a little bit, it would make a huge difference to us in terms of what we're trying to do in the tap room.
Okay, I just saved it till the end because I only want to do one question on it. But the deposit return scheme, Peter, how, in a nutshell, how challenging has that been for producers?
It's been really difficult, particularly for small producers. I'm sure the big guys are well able for it, but we're in the situation where we have to have the same barcode on our domestic product as we do on the product we ship to other countries. So that's called an international section barcode. Then we have the cash flow implications of having to collect the money for the revenue, but then also the the unintended costs. Like, we've had to adapt our EDI and back office Sage systems, basically to be able to handle the deposit return scheme bills to different customers.
Okay.
So it's sort of, we feel like we've been caught a little bit as collateral damage in the whole thing as a small operator.
And very last word to you on it, Quincy.
You know, my view is that, you know, we weren't part of the problem and we're really not part of the solution. You know,
right.
I mean, and, you know, what we collectively as a craft industry put out into the market in packaging isn't a drop in the ocean. And my view is that small producers, which we are, should have been exempt. There should have been a threshold that if you're putting above a certain amount into the market, you then become part of DRS.
Yeah.
And you know, the same as Peter saying, I mean, the cost and the disruption and the loss of sales, because the multiples just stopped buying cans in December and didn't come back buying them properly till April.
Okay, well, hopefully that'll stabilise for you. But look, you're all three of you are great ambassadors for your craft and for your trade. My thanks to Quincy Fennelly from Wicklow Wolf, Peter Maguire from Rye River Brewing, and Shane Long there down in Cork from Original 7. Thank you all very much and wishing you every success in the future.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Up next, I'll be talking maternity care at a new Dunleary venture, Ask the Midwife. Stay tuned.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.